الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف Honorable brothers in attendance and viewers of Madani Channel, there are so many fadail excellences of reciting Salat upon the best of mankind, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَسْمَعُوا صَلَاتَ أَهْلِ مَحَبَّتِي وَأَعْرِفُهُمْ I hear the Salat sent upon me by my devotees. أَسْمَعُوا صَلَاتَ أَهْلِ مَحَبَّتِي Those who love the Prophet alayhi salam, in this narration, they're given glad tidings. That the Prophet alayhi salam hears the recitation of Durood Sharif, of Salat ala Nabi. And not only that, وَأَعْرِفُهُمْ And I recognize them as well. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّى اللَّهُمْ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been blessed with many khasa'is, many unique, distinctive qualities and attributes which no one shares with him in creation. He is the beloved of Allah. He is the greatest of all prophets and messengers. And Allah Ta'ala has granted him these blessed qualities which are unique to his personality. Of those qualities and attributes is the beloved Prophet alayhi salam being mukhtare kul. He has ikhtiyarat kulliya. What does this mean? That Allah Ta'ala has made the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi salam his deputy in creation, his vicegerent, khalifatullah al-a'zam. The greatest Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has granted such authority and power to the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is shari', he is the legislator, he is the one who commands people halal and haram. And inshallah we'll be hearing about the dalail, the evidences for this, as well as great examples from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now this ikhtiyar, this control, this power, this authority to do as he wills is of two types. What Allah Ta'ala has granted the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is of two types. Ikhtiyarat tashri'iyya and ikhtiyarat takwiniyya. Let us define these two terms. One is having the power and authority to change a law of Sharia for a particular person, make a general ruling of permissibility haram for another person, or vice versa. There's something haram in Sharia, but making that permissible for someone else. There's many examples of this in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second type of ikhtiyar, power and control and authority, is ikhtiyarat takwiniya, meaning in this dunya, in this world, in the heavens, in creation, meaning ikhtiyar, authority to do as he wills, in the dunya, in the heavens, with the moon, with the stars, and other things within Allah Ta'ala's creation. So, let's look at some of the evidences for this. First of all, it should be noted that throughout the ages, the ulama have written on this topic. So it's not something new. Many, many ulama have written upon this topic and up until our time, the great Ala Hazrat Imam Ahli Sunnat Maulana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma, in the last century, he also wrote on this topic. He has a book called Muniyatul Labib, Anna Tashri'a Biyadil Habib. That the orders of Sharia, judgments of Sharia, have been placed within the blessed hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's listen to the dalail for this. First of all, Allah Ta'ala says in Al-Quran Al-Kareem that فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُ. Meaning, look at the subtlety of this verse, subhanAllah. Everyone claims that Allah Ta'ala is his Lord. Every believer does. Allah is my Lord, Allah is my Rabb. But look at this verse, Allah is saying, O Habib, qasam upon your Lord. Allah Ta'ala is ascribing himself his lordship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a sharaf indeed, this is an honor in and of itself. Fala wa rabbika, qasam upon your Lord. La yu'minuna hatta yuhakkimuka fima shajara bainahum. That they will not believe until they make you a hakim, a judge or an arbitrator in their disputes amongst themselves. That you are the hakim. And the believers will not be believers until they have this aqidah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our hakim, our leader, the one who arbitrates and decides regarding our matters. Another verse of the Quran which proves the ikhtiyarat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. That it does not befit any mu'min or mu'mina, any male Muslim or female Muslim, to have any authority after Allah and His Messenger have ordained anything regarding them. Allah and His Messenger have decided something regarding a believer, that's final now. Believer has no ikhtiyar after that. So here in the verse, if you look carefully, إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Then Allah and His Messenger have decided. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala could have said, when Allah decides. But here in the verse it clearly says, إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا. When Allah and His Messenger decide a matter, it's fine. Believers don't have ikhtiyar after that. Now here, before moving on, mentioning some examples, some people, they become confused. Allah Ta'ala is Mukhtar Kul. Allah Ta'ala has complete authority. Allah Ta'ala has full power. So where has this come from that the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also is Mukhtarikul? So we've heard two evidences for this so far, but just to clarify, and this is a qaida that the ulama say, if people understand, they will not get confused on all these matters. Allah Ta'ala is Mukhtarikul. Allah Ta'ala has all power, is all powerful. He has complete authority. But His power and His authority is independent, it's dhati. Meaning, it's His own. Nobody gave Him that power. Nobody gave power to Allah, ma'azallah, or authority to Allah. He is the all-powerful, pre-eternally. As for anyone in creation, which includes our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anyone who has ikhtiyar within creation, then it is through the bestowal, the grant of Allah azza wa jal. And now that Allah Ta'ala has granted that, who are we to complain? Who are we to object? Who are we to become confused? The matter is simple. That when creation has ikhtiyar, it's through the bestowal of Allah. So in no way, shape or form, is a person who believes that the Prophet ﷺ has ikhtiyari kul, equating the Prophet ﷺ to Allah Azza wa Jal. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Because as soon as he says, my aqeedah is that Allah has given him that power, then how can there be shirk? How can there be polytheism? Because polytheism is when a person believes that the Prophet ﷺ has ikhtiyari kul through his own accord. Nobody gave it to him. Or he establishes a sifa of Allah from the sifat of Allah for the Prophet ﷺ and says, that Allah Ta'ala didn't give it to him, it was from himself. Na'udhu billah. So people unfortunately don't understand the ta'rif of shirk, polytheism. The dangerous thing is they apply it to everyone and anyone. Some people. That he did this, that means he's a mushrik. He did this, he's a polytheist. Or he has to recite kalima again. And remember, this is such a sensitive matter that the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says that anyone who applies a fatwa of disbelief upon someone, yet that person is not guilty of what he is accusing him of. He has no element of disbelief in him. He's a mu'min, he's a Muslim. And what happens? That fatwa reverts and returns back to the person who gave it. So very sensitive matter. And this is why, whenever we are confused about a matter, we should consult and refer to the ulama. And we should have things clarified. Otherwise, if we are going to start labeling people based on our own naqis and limited knowledge, we will fall into grave error. The Quran tells us, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That ask the people of dhikr. Here it means the people of knowledge, if you yourselves do not know. And there's many things we don't know. Let's be honest. Our knowledge for most people is limited to a clip we've heard. Maybe a clip a day or two clips a day. And then afterwards we think we have the authority to speak on Islamic matters. It doesn't work like that. People who are allowed to speak upon Islamic matters are those who are qualified. You won't go to a doctor and say, give me advice regarding my finances. You won't go to an accountant and say, give me medical advice. So when it comes to the dunya, we are very cautious on who we approach, who we ask regarding our matter. When it comes to the deen, unfortunately many people think, I'm knowledgeable myself. I can come to a conclusion myself. So the knowledge is very limited, but the conclusions people come to are very great. Now going back to the topic, Allah Ta'ala is Mukhtar Kul independently. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who has ikhtiyar kulliya, this is through the bestowal of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the correct aqeedah, which is in line with the teachings of our aslaf, the scholars throughout the ages. Let's hear some examples of this. Once a person came to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he said, I will accept Islam upon one condition. What was that condition? The condition was, I will accept Islam on the condition that I only offer two prayers. Just two prayers, not five. Me and you both know that as a Muslim, you're obligated to pray five times a day. This is Fard, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. The moment a person misses any single Salah without a valid excuse, he's sinful, he's missed a Fard, he's disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this person has come to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He wants to embrace Islam, but he says, on the condition that I only offer two salah. Now think about it. Today, if any alim, any mufti of sharia, any scholarly person, any sheikh, any spiritual guide is asked this question by someone, they are not permitted to say, yes, that's fine. It's not allowed. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did he reply? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if that is your mutalaba, if this is what you're saying, that you will accept Islam based on the condition that you will only offer two salah, then go ahead. This is unique to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Nawawi, other great scholars who have commentated on these kinds of hadith, they say, this is where you gain a clear understanding that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the shari', the legislator, and he may exempt anyone in creation from al-hukmul 'am, a general ruling. which is applicable to all the masses, the Prophet ﷺ has the authority to exempt someone from that general ruling. Just as in this case, where the person said, I'll accept Islam based on reading two salah only. And the Prophet ﷺ said, that's fine for you, go ahead. And he accepted Islam as well. So this is the ikhtiyar that we're talking about. The ikhtiyar and the power, the authority that the beloved Prophet ﷺ has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many other narrations in Shari'i rulings, for example, where the Prophet ﷺ highlights how much power he's been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that if I did not fear difficulty for my ummah, I would delay Isha Salah for them until a third of the night has passed or until half the night has passed. Meaning I would make it necessary for them to offer Salah at that time. But look at the shafaqah, look at the mercy, look at the compassion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he didn't do so. And him saying that if I didn't fear difficulty for my ummah, I would have done this. This shows that he can do this. He can change and alter the rules of Sharia according to his will. I mean, Allah Ta'ala has granted him that authority. Otherwise, why would he say it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been described in the Quran, وَمَا يَمْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, that he doesn't speak of his own accord. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the purest in speech. In all of creation, there is none who speaks like our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was jawami'ul kalim. He had comprehensive speech. Few words, vast meanings. The Prophet alayhi salam can never ever be accused of ma'adhullah speaking unnecessarily. Fudul. So here, if you ponder, the Prophet alayhi salam said, if I did not fear difficulty, mashaqqa for my ummah, I would have delayed the Isha Salah, Isha Jamaat for them until a third of the night has passed or until half of the night. Similarly, one Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala, and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is Hajj fard every single year? The Prophet alayhi wasallam didn't reply. He said it again, he said it a third time. And that's when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, again showing his ikhtiyar, his power and authority that Allah has given him. He said, لَوْ قُلْتُ نَعَمْ لَوَجَبَتْ. If I said yes, then it would become necessary every single year. Meaning the Prophet alayhi salam himself saying, if I said yes, قُلْتُ, I said, نَعَمْ, if I said yes, لَوَجَبَتْ. Every single year you would have to perform Hajj. And the Prophet alayhi salam didn't say every year. As we know, once in a person's lifetime, whether he's multi-millionaire or he just about meets the threshold, he only performs Hajj once a year, once in his lifetime. After that, if he performs it, it's voluntary, it's rewardable. But obligatory is only once in his lifetime, in her lifetime, if he or she meets the conditions. Now, these were some examples of ikhtiyar in Sharia. Changing a rule, making something permissible which was impermissible, or making something impermissible which was permissible. Now let's hear an example or two regarding ikhtiyar takwiniya. In this dunya, in the universe, how the Prophet alayhi salam, he was able to showcase and highlight his power and authority. He did certain things within the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which tells you, which informs you that he is the deputy of Allah azza wa jal. We know that namaz is fard, as we heard. The Sahaba, they were very steadfast with their prayers, more than we could ever be. The Sahaba knew very well that every time they offered salah, Allah and his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be pleased. The Prophet alayhi salam said, Ju'ilat qurratu ayni fi salah. The coolness of my eyes has been placed in salah. So the Sahaba would find every opportunity to provide coolness to the eyes of the Prophet alayhi salam, to please Allah and his beloved. On one occasion, this is a journey somewhere, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stops to rest. And he is resting on the lap of Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu, meaning his blessed head is resting on the lap of Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. It's the time of Asr. The time of Asr is departing. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu has a choice now. Do I wake up the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, interfere in his sleep, discomfort the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or do I give preference to the sleep of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this would result in me missing my Asr Salah? What do I do? You know what Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu chose to do? He gave fawqiyah, even though he knows Asr is ibadah as well, it's fard as well. But at the same time, he knows the importance of venerating the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran tells us the adab of the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba, when they would knock on the door of the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house, they would use their nails, not their knuckles or their hands. This was again to ensure that they're maintaining decorum, adab, in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu does not wake up the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His Asr Salah has elapsed. The sun has set. Now when the Prophet alayhi salam awakens, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, this is a hadith, that I even know about the khushu of yours in Salah. I know your level of khushu in Salah. So of course, when he looked at Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu, he could tell that something was concerning him. So he said, "Oh Ali, what's the matter?" Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala and said, "But Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have missed my Asr prayer, my Asr Salah." Listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He didn't say, "Well, that's bad. Now you'll have to make up for it. Why didn't you wake me up? You should have woken me up from sleep. You should have offered your Asr Salah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "Ya Allah, Ali was in your service and the service of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And he asked, "Oh Ali, do you want to offer your Asr Salah as Ada or Qada?" Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu, he knew about the power of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knew about the ikhtiyar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had seen time and time in his life how on some occasions water would gush forth from the fingers of the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had seen at other times how the Prophet alayhi salam would point to the moon and it would split in half. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would like to perform my Asr as Ada, not Qada, within its timing. How was that possible?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gestured towards the sun, which had set by now, and brought it back to its original place. The sun has come back to its original place. It's the time of Asr again. And Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala offers his Asr Salah as Ada, not Qada. This is just one example from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he showed his ikhtiyar. And remember, this wasn't only in adulthood. Sayyiduna Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you were a young child in your cradle, when you were in your cradle, I would see you would discuss or converse with the moon. And I also saw that whatever you would gesture, wherever you would indicate, the moon would move there accordingly. Upon your signal, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, said, "Yes, the moon would comfort me, stop me from crying." Remember, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam was a young child. And then the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, "When the moon does sajda beneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would hear its tasbih as well." He's only a young child. So this was the miraculous power, authority granted to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his beloved creator Allah azza wa jal. Remember, the Prophet alayhi salam was a miracle from head to toe. People saw his blessed face and said, this person can never be a liar. This can never be the face of a liar. So this was the ikhtiyar of the Prophet ﷺ. Lastly, I would like to mention a hadith, again showing the ikhtiyar, the authority given to the Prophet ﷺ by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do as he wills within creation. There was a sahabi who came to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the month of Ramadan, Kareem. And he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've destroyed myself. But how have you destroyed yourself? What's happened? He said, me and my spouse, we had marital relations. I broke my fast. Now, as you know, for somebody who deliberately breaks his fast, there's compensation, kafara. And there's a level as well. First of all, you have to see whether the person is able to fast for 2 months consecutively. The Prophet ﷺ said, can you fast for 2 months? The Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't have the strength to fast for 2 consecutive months. I can't do that. Next, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, have you got the ability to feed 60 masakeen? 60 paupers, poor people, destitute people. Said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't have the ability to do that either. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells him to sit. So he's sitting in the blessed majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A short while later, a basket of dates, a large amount of dates, are sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to this sahabi of his, who needs to give kafara now, he says, take these dates and distribute them to those who are deserving. Look at this sahabi. Look what he says. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the entire area of Al-Madinatul Munawwara, there's no one more in need of these dates than me. And here the Prophet alayhi salam could have said to him directly that, no, you must distribute these amongst those who are deserving, ahl. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instead said to him, take these dates, eat them yourself, feed them to your spouse, keep them in your household, your kafara is done. Your compensation has been paid. Brothers in Islam, viewers of Madini Channel, we need to understand the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. He is the best in the entire creation. From the beginning all the way till Qiyamah, whoever will come, billions of people, trillions of people, Allah Ta'ala has singled out the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam as his Habib, as his beloved. And as is this is the case, Allah Ta'ala has granted his beloved unique, distinctive qualities and attributes that nobody shares with him in creation. To the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he speaks about his shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment, he says, on that day, even Ibrahim alayhi salam will be dependent on my shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment. So we must recognize our beloved. We must gain cure through the remembrance of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You must have heard of the book, Kitab al-Shifa. Qadi Iyad Maliki rahmatullahi alayhi, who wrote this book many, many centuries ago. Why did he title it Shifa for? The full name is Kitab al-Shifa bita'arifi hukuq al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because these a'imma, when they studied the life of the Prophet alayhi salam, they had ma'rifah of his maqam in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somewhat. Meaning fully, we can never comprehend the maqam of Rasulullah alayhi salam. As he himself has said, only my Lord knows my haqiqah. But the more you study his blessed life, the more you understand how special he is. How he is Mustafa, the chosen one. How he is Murtada. Allah ta'ala blessed him. Now, why did he title it Shifa? Because the more you learn about the life of the Prophet alayhi salam, the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, his exclusive qualities, his fadail, his excellences, his virtues, then this is a means of gaining Shifa. Shifa from physical ailments, because we've touched in the past upon how the blessed hair of Rasulullah alayhi salam would be dipped into water and given to patients to drink. So this was physical ailments where a person would gain Shifa through tabarrukat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then spiritual ailments. We live in this dunya, and many a times we fall ill. We fall prey to many vices: hasad, jealousy, enmity, bughd, hiqd, ghil, so many different diseases, love of the world, love of fame, love of wealth. And these things lead to all sorts of crimes, all sorts of vices. But when we learn about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he was distant from the dunya, he had no interest in the dunya. How, if the Prophet alayhi sallam wanted, he could have lived the life of a king. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I wanted, mountains of gold would walk alongside me. But the Prophet alayhi sallam didn't choose a life like that. He was the most humble servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the entire creation. And as ummatis of the Prophet alayhi sallam, the more we learn about our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more we purify our inner as well. Remember, that is the goal, to gain ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we're in the dunya, to gain true recognition of Allah azza wa jal. And how do we do so? By following the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we do so, inshallah, our heart will be purified. And the heart is that thing which has been mentioned in the hadith as a morsel of flesh, that if it is sound, the whole body is sound. All your af'al will be sound. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. And if it's corrupt, if it's polluted, if the dunya and the love of the dunya overwhelms your heart, leads you to commit sin upon sin, then it's corrupt. The whole body will be corrupt. Actions will be corrupt. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Take heed, it is the heart that is being referred to. So if you want to purify our inner, our physical ailments, our spiritual ailments, the way to do so is to learn about the great rank of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq to do so. Ameen. Bijahi Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah.